Hi, everybody. Most of you know me. There are some folks that are visiting in the audience that don't. I'm Ron Jesse, the music director and organist here at Pacific Beach United Methodist Church. Most of my time is spent with my back to you, so it's really fun to be looking at you today and up here to be able to speak and share. Standing next to me is Luana K. Elson. And let's hear it for Luana. Luana walked in the door of our church about 2 months ago, and she looked around and she says, you know, I think this is a church that I really like. I think maybe I want to be here. So she sent a note to the pastor in the offering saying, I'd like to sing in the choir, and hey, here we are. But when we've been working on this song for a while, it's brand new, and we really love the song. God's working it out, and God really does work it out, doesn't God? Sometimes when we don't even know it, and God's right there for us. And Luana came in this morning, and she shared something with me that I thought was really cool. So, Luana, will you share that with the congregation?
Good morning, church. What I shared with Ron Jesse is that whenever I'm given a piece to sing, regardless of whether it's solo or with the chamber, chorale, I always research. The words, they just resonated in me when we sang Working It Out. So I went to the Bible. And there it was under Psalms 31, verse 24, be of good courage. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So that's where we were coming from when we performed that piece. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Luana. Thank you so much. Be of good courage in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. It's a wonderful message. I think you've just preached the sermon. Today our scripture text comes from Matthew 25, and I'm using the book called The Message, and The Message is a variation on the Bible that really focuses on the parables of Jesus written by Eugene Peterson, and it's in great common language, and he uses a lot of illustrations in using the words that are really relevant to us here today. So I'm going to share with you Matthew 25, which is about investment of time, talent, and money. The story goes like this. A man was going on an extended journey. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one, he gave $5,000. To another, he gave $2,000. And to a third servant, he gave $1,000, all based on their abilities. Then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled the master's investment. And the second did the same. But the third servant, with the single $1,000, dug a hole and carefully buried the master's money. After a long absence, the master came back. The servant that was given the $5,000 showed the master how he had doubled the investment. Good work, said the master. From now on, you shall be my partner. The servant with the $2,000 was excited to show the master how he had also doubled the master's investment. Nice going, said the master. Job well done. You will also be my partner. The servant given the $1,000 proudly stepped forward and said, Master, I know you have high standards and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for error. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a great hiding space and secured your money in a hole I dug. Here it is, right down to the last cent. Well, the master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. The least you could have done would have been to invest that sum for the betterment of others. And so ends the reading of the word. In 1991, a beleaguered district superintendent named George Walters approached a young couple on the island of Kauai and said, "Have I got a church for you?" It was once a great church. It's now down and out, and without a miracle, might close its doors within the next couple of years. Want to give it a shot? The young couple with two beautiful children said yes. And although Dr. Walters was thrilled with their enthusiasm, his response to them was, well, good luck. And that was the beginning of the journey that brought April Marie Heron to Pacific Beach United Methodist Church 23 years ago. if we liken this biblical account to the master and the money, we'd have to say that Dr. Walters was offering this couple not $5,000 to invest, nor $2,000 to get started, or even $1,000 of seed money. He was figuratively saying, here's a dollar. Go do great things. Well, George Walters has subsequently joined the Saints in Glory, but I think if he was here today, he'd say, April, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have created a vibrant fellowship of happy, loving people who worship together, sing joyfully, pray fervently, and serve their community with passion. Nice going, April. Today I'm tasked with reflecting on the music and arts portion of the last 23 years. In keeping with the context of this parable shared by Jesus in today's scripture, I'd like to show you a picture. So Ben, go ahead. There it is. Okay, good. Folks, that is a picture of the Pacific Beach United Methodist Church Choir in the late 1980s, just maybe a year before April came. In the picture you will see two current church members, Al Herman and Craig Orange, and a smattering of other hearty souls. Our worship service was very traditional, and this talented and dedicated group sang with great gusto and was the core, was the real essence of what was to come. On to the next photo, Ben. Great, thanks. When April and Andy arrived in 1991, there was a clear choice in the musical investment. The four people that you see in this picture, April, myself, and Mom and Dad Heron, sat down and we discussed the pros and cons of traditional versus blended worship as a platform for ushering the church into the decade of the 90s. Now, blended worship can be described as the kind of worship that involves all kinds of styles, musically, and all kinds of worship styles as well. So we saw a great example of it in the beginning this morning, Rodney playing that incredible Chopin Nocturne, which was absolutely beautiful, representing kind of a more classical thing. And then the choir came in and sang songs of praise. Then we sang a traditional hymn and another song of praise, and then the choir came through with that wonderful gospel piece. It's all styles of worship and music in one worship setting, which we decided to launch off on. And it was April who voiced the critical recommendation that we move forward with the worship and music planning that would minister to the community and draw people into a more meaningful worship setting. Within 7 years of that fateful meeting, through an alliance of amazing collaboration, the team was able to produce this. That is our first production of Two from Galilee. You're looking at that cast, and that production has been performed three times over the past 23 years. Obviously, this did not happen overnight. It took 7 years. We started with baby steps and moved through a series of smaller productions titled things like this. It was like The Gift of the Magi and The Christmas Gift and The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Each production created a sense of camaraderie and unity and excitement about the music ministry of our church. Although I directed most of the productions, other members of the community came forward to share their directing talent. Susie and Joan were involved. Susie and Joan, wave. Susie and Joan were involved as well. And Peter Herman directed a show. And Kim Cree, our perennial assistant director, saved the day on more than one occasion when I was ready to collapse. Thank you, Kim. Kim is amazing. And all that while our wonderful April served as the executive producer of each production. She dealt with the fine details, and she offered wise counsel regarding production quality, length, and spiritual context. And she also sidled up to a number of you and twisted your arm and said, I think you need to be in this production. Or I think you have acting abilities that have not yet been discovered. Or I feel God calling you to do this. You all know what I'm talking about. I can tell. Well, if we look at that picture from the 1980s, we go back and look at that. Here's the wonderful and dedicated core group who are foundational to this music ministry. And the only reason you don't see me in that picture is because I was taking the picture. And I must tell you, I'm much younger and better looking now than I was back then. So let's go back to the Two from Galilee picture. This is the whole crew and staff and everybody that was involved in that show. Not only was this growth in numbers and a change in the demographic, but it was also a deep and rich ministry to the entire congregation. In addition, the participants were drawn into a deeper understanding of what it means to be ministers of God's Word. Go to the next slide, Ben. And this next slide is one that we did 5 years ago. This was A Baby Changes Anything. Now, Lewis promised me at one time, or threatened me, that he would never be in a dress. That's Lewis as the flying angel in... I'm in trouble. Let me tell you what. I'm really in big trouble. We better go to the next slide right now. The next slide is from this year's production, which was The Night the Angels Sang. I lost it there for a minute. And I think we've done The Night the Angels Sang 3 times in the last 22 years. We keep trying to switch it up, but every once in a while a chestnut comes along that we really love. This one is so beautiful because it tells the original Christmas story in elegant and beautiful music and beautiful acting and theatrical pieces that really come alive on stage and bring that story to life. And I love those two pieces, and I'm so thrilled with what the ministry is and what the ministry has yet to become. Do you think Jesus' parable fits here in this whole scenario? Through April's encouragement and nurturing, the music program and congregation grew on a parallel track. We have all seen the results in subsequent years with the production of 22 full-length Christmas shows and 15 Palm Sunday productions, and the ministry of the choir and the instrumental musicians. This would not have been possible without the support and direct help of our pastor, who actually starred in one production. Did you all know that? It's been a while ago. But I have to tell you a story about that. She was playing a teenage girl in this production, and she asked her oldest daughter, "What should I do to prepare for my part in this production?" And her daughter leaned forward and said, "Wear lots of makeup." April has also incorporated meaningful and timely scenes into the context of her sermons. I would like to ask Susie Virgilio to come up and to share with us a few of her thoughts regarding the use of dramatic and sometimes comedic scenes in the sermons. Susie?
Good morning. Well, as many of you do know, you can't say no to April about anything. So I couldn't say no to Ron's offer to talk about April today on Send Off Sunday. And my focus is, as Ron said, on the participation in sermon skits, the short dramatic or comedic pieces that April chooses to illustrate and enhance the sermon message and indeed the entire service. I've been asked to present several of these skits, enough that I thought eventually all of you would say, "Geez, stop asking her." But you never did, so thank you. I really like being part of the message. Usually April gave vague directions. It was up to the performer to glean the meaning from the piece and to make the point come across. I did one skit where I had to open a package, and what was inside the package depended on how I felt inside about myself, about self-discovery, and giving up to God what was needed. Often after services, you would come up to me and say you enjoyed the skit and that whatever you received from me helped you, and that in turn helps me. The most impressive part of all of this, April is always able to perfectly match the skit to the performer. The impact of the skit's message often comes across so well because the actor was able to mirror the message perfectly in their own life at that moment. And my best example of this is my most recent turn at presenting one of the skits. Well, I was lucky enough to do a few skits at the Easter Sunrise service, and the last one that I performed at our most recent Sunrise. Two monologues were presented of people in Jesus' time who had met him and what was his impact upon them. I did a monologue as a widow meeting Jesus for the first time. He saves her life, telling her God is good always, and she comes to realize that storms of life, mild or strong, will come and go, but they will eventually pass. She knows the grace of God saved her and that she can only thank Jesus for doing so. I finished this speech in tears as the woman's trial seemed to echo my own at that time. People at the service came up to me and expressed their appreciation as it was real and meaningful in context of the service. April and I hadn't realized how moved I would be by the monologue due to the similar feelings, but we both felt that God had had a hand in the matchup of me and that particular speech. And in closing, it will help us to remember the widow's words in terms of change coming to us. I know storms will come. They may be mild or they may wreak havoc, but eventually they will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
That was great. Thank you so much. The PBUMC choir, better known as the Voices of Praise, has experienced a complete turnover in the last 23 years. Craig and Al have retired but are still ardent supporters of the group. Others have passed on or moved to other towns, but the choir has grown in size and quality, and the members have become dedicated to the art of giving their best and finest praise to God through hard work and dedication. Judy Patterson is going to come now to share a few thoughts regarding her years in the choir. Come on up, Judy.
There's so many wonderful memories, but I think what probably stands out the strongest in the hearts and minds of the choir members is the fact that April was such a part, an integral part of the choir, and she somehow expressed to us her belief that what we sang, the words in the songs that we presented, those things were very, very important in the worship service. And so there was no sense of, oh, I've got to do my best because I'm up here, or, oh, I hope I sound really good, or, oh, I hope I wore something that looks pretty today. It was like, let us express what the words are, what the meaning of those words are. And April somehow made us all feel as if we were part of her sermon, part of all of you. And I think that will probably stay with most of us for the longest, in addition to the fact that she was in the programs with us. When we were lacking sopranos back in the old days, she would sing. She went on the choir trips, the retreats, had a great time. All those things are important, but I think what will stay with each of us is the way that she, and Ron also, when he talked to us, made us really feel that we had an important part in the service, in expressing to all of you who are here with us the beliefs that are important. And the last thing is, kind of fits into that beautiful song we got to sing today, God is Working It Out, because it's really, I'd say weird, but I hate to say that, just I'll say marvelous, that without April and Ron necessarily discussing it ahead of time, so often the words in a song that we were singing fit perfectly into the sermon. So since I know for a fact that they didn't confer on it every time, I've got to say it's another example that God's working it out. And those of us in the choir wish April, Pastor April, the very best in her new part of life, wherever it goes. And all of us know, and of course she knows well, that God is working it out.
Great, Judy. Thank you so much. Russ Sperling is a close friend who has been a vital part of this music ministry. You have seen him occasionally in the choir, but more frequently at the sound booth. And, of course, flailing his hands wildly as he directs the choir and instrumentalists in our seasonal productions. Russ will share his thoughts regarding April's impact from the viewpoint of an educator and professional musician. Come on up, Russ.
Thank you, much older brother Ronald. Flailing my hands. I had not been attending any church on a regular basis for about 15 years when I received an invitation from Mr. Jesse to attend this church. One of my many excuses for not attending church was that as a musician, I was very picky about the music that was offered at other churches I had visited. In my precious ears, you know, just couldn't be subjected to what I'd heard elsewhere on a weekly basis. But on my first visit here in September of 1999, I didn't have bad music as an excuse not to return. I was impressed with the Voices of Praise and the organ-piano duo of Ron and Maggie. And then there was April, who was not the usual sort of pastor I was familiar with. I kept coming back, and then I was seamlessly taken into the church like a big tractor beam was lulling me in by everybody here. Especially April, common theme here, who immediately, as she does with everyone, put me to work doing what I do. She supported in all ways what was necessary to add into our Christmas shows a live orchestra, something I've now conducted or coordinated for the last 15 years. Shows, and we have no shame in saying that they are shows, and as I've told other people, they're just way better here at this church than they ought to be, given the size of our church. Kind of ridiculous, actually. And at Easter, too, we've had a live brass group or whatever that Sunday's music required. I Will Arise, one of my particular favorites at Easter. In my career as a musician and educator, I've had many amazing musical experiences. But because of all that April has fostered here at Pacific Beach, here I've had some of my most memorable and treasured musical moments. Thank you, April, for your friendship and for providing me this and this congregation a church home that has fostered musical experiences that have taken our spirits away to a place closer to God.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much, Russ. Through the years, several cool and mysterious arts-related things have been witnessed by many parishioners. And I mean mysterious. Some said that they could actually see an aura around April's head as she spoke and as the choir sang. As you know, during the service, I usually sit right over here, and I think I have actually seen that aura. Now, you may believe this, or you might not believe this, but one such phenomena was actually captured on camera while she was pondering a sermon. Here it is. Proof positive. I ask you. You'd know that April would have the most artistic aura of anybody on the planet. Other cool things were supported by April were interesting and timely sermons by several of our church members. Notably among them are two sermons shared by Tim Adams that related the imagery of fine art to the spiritual life of our parishioners. April left no stone unturned in providing her congregation with a professional staff and expertise to facilitate a well-rounded arts experience in a truly Christ-centered context. Just before April came to PBUMC, former pastor Tom Taylor pronounced that the 1990s would be our decade of destiny. Little did he know how prophetic those words would be in the life of this church, its music and investment in the people of God. It's not just the choir, the productions, the dramatic scenes, the music, or even the sermons. It's the way April took a small investment described in Matthew 25 and nurtured it for the sake of God's ministry into a priceless gift. For that and so many other things, we say thank you, thank you, thank you to April Marie Heron for 23 years of faithful and loving service. Thank you.
Such a blessing for me to receive these memories and testimonials and to see before my eyes and be reminded once again how marvelously capable all of you are and how the ministry is all of us together, sharing the gifts and doing the work that God has given us to do. And I have such a sense of confidence in the future of this church when I see what amazing and wonderful leadership and support present here. I want you to know I would be totally wrecked at this point if it were not for this photograph here on the wall, which reminds me that I go from here to be with my two beautiful daughters, now 24 and 27, who are awaiting me in Brazil. And they and my parents have been a tremendous, steadfast rock and partnership with me. And I know that my daughters have benefited in ways that I can't even articulate from being part of this wonderful and loving church community. And it's my opportunity to be with them for a sustained length of time that makes me have the joy right along with the sorrow of saying goodbye to you all. And I continue to cling to the words of our district superintendent, John Farley, who said when this news of change came along, that Pacific Beach United Methodist Church will always be the church of my heart, and that I can look forward to return visits and continuing friendships in the years to come. There may be a little bit of detachment in this first year to allow you to bond with Reverend Bob, but we will continue our friendship and connection and relationship. This may make no sense whatsoever, and I may now be verging into babbling, but this picture of Liz reminds me that there was a whole year in which she wanted to be called Bob. And I don't really know why that was, but you know, when you said Tom Taylor sort of prophesied the decade of destiny, I said, Liz, guess what? The new pastor that has been named and is going to be Reverend Bob. She had an alligator that she named Bob that I found when I was cleaning out her closet. So, Bob is just part of the cosmic God working it out. So I think laughter is good. Let's sing together. Breathe on me, breathe on us, breath of God, and make of us what you will. Fill us with your spirit so that we may do your ministry. Gracious and holy God, we take our cue this morning from the fourth chapter of the book Philippians. And as we look back and reminisce and contemplate how you have been with us through all our joys and trials and challenges and tribulations, we're encouraged by these words to consider whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable. If there's any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, we think about these things, O God. And it is our intent, Lord, with your encouragement, to keep on doing the things that we have learned and received from one another. We have heard and seen you at work in our lives. We've heard and seen your voice and your face and the faces and voices of our partners here in ministry. And so, as we continue in your grace, we trust that your peace will be with all of us. We rest on your promise that you are always with us, no matter where we go, and we are connected in your spirit. We rest on your promise that we can do all things through you, who are our strength and our salvation. And it is in the confidence of your great love for us that we join our voices now in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.